Morning.
Morning. Okay, good. I see we got design review committee members coming in, applicants coming in, and it looks like we got the public coming in. So I think everyone can get access. So it's 8:30. We're recording. I think we're just waiting for one other design review committee member. We have Tracy, Todd, and Daryl, and if I recall, Rita was going to be present at the meeting, or was somebody else? Somebody else was. I can't recall who. And which committee member was that? Was it Brian? Okay, so how many design review, I guess Rita's not going to be here. And how many design review committee members do we have now? Three? And are we, I think we need one more.
We do.
Do we know, so do we?
Was Chetimer going to be the fourth?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I wasn't sure. I thought Chettimer was going to be the fourth. Is that, am I wrong?
So let's go through it here. There's Aaron Walker.
No, I think he is no longer on the board, is what I heard.
Sedimer Jessic. Daryl Mulch is present. Matt Jones is not here. Rita Baker, not here. Todd and Tracy are here. So it needs to be either Matt Jones or Sedimir. So let's send them an email.
Was I'm trying to remember. I'm sorry. Was Matt at the last meeting?
I believe he was.
Okay. I kind of assumed he was going to be here, but I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully the third time is the charm here.
Well, let me see here. I'm going to email this group. Okay, so I need to see what happens here. We're going to have to wait.
So you need one more? Is that what? Okay.
So how about those dogs last night?
Hot dogs? What are you talking about?
the Yukon dogs.
Oh, that was a good game.
That was really anybody good win game. Any money on that one?
No. I was shooting for the underdog, though.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was a good one.
Probably most of us wanted the underdog from the West Coast. But
yeah.
It only looked good for about the first 3 minutes.
No, that last 10 minutes was pretty good.
Yeah.
They had a shot.
I saw 5 championships in the last 25 years. It's pretty impressive for you.
Yeah. Their defense was overwhelming.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're good.
Anybody read any good books lately?
No. No. It's a wet one out there, Brian.
I know. I got to be out in it this afternoon.
I finally got around to watching that HBO special on Chernobyl.
Ah, interesting.
Was that really? I highly recommend watching that. It was very interesting.
Is that the one about the survivors?
No, it's basically just a like a dramatization of the events, what happened. But it's fascinating.
That was very good. I saw that as well. Good. Yeah,
the miners were a little out there.
Yeah. I'll say. Yeah. But yeah, it was well done.
I agree.
That's the one thing I've tried to avoid my whole life are those plants. I never want to be around them.
No, especially not after knowing what happened. I mean, it was gross negligence, but still.
So I hate to ask this question almost, did it not become a self-fulfilling prophecy, but what do we do if we can't get a quorum of the committee?
We've had this happen, I think, once before, right, Todd and Daryl? I think it's happened once, and we've kind of gone through the process to the greatest extent that we can, and we make any recommendations that we might have. But then we still had to reconvene with a quorum. Mm. So hopefully it doesn't come to that, and Brian or Ben can get a hold of Tudemir or Matt.
I sure hope so. This is rather embarrassing.
Yes, I'm very sorry to all of you for this. This is, yeah, as Todd said, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, we meet fairly infrequently.
We'll see. Hopefully Ben is calling some people so that we can get them on here.
Is Rita in a different time zone or?
I think so. I remember correctly.
She's at the AIA convention in Philadelphia.
That's right. Good memory.
It's a planner thing. So
we're
all excited about it.
I thought she said she was going to be out of the country, but Philadelphia is close.
I think she said something about that afterwards, maybe, right?
That makes sense. Europe.
There are some parts of Philadelphia that feel like they're out of the country.
So what do you guys discuss at those things, like new forms and fonts, or what gets discussed?
I really think this year is going to be a big focus on how AI is going to infiltrate the planning world. But I didn't look close. I was bitter about not being able to go, so I didn't look closely at the agenda.
So they're trying to instill their standards.
Yeah, I think it's just like this is what you can expect from legislature and trends that they're seeing, a big push on, walkable cities and things like that. So
nothing too new.
It's really the same content every year. It's mostly.
I'm sorry for the. Thanks, Jonathan. Sorry for the delay. So we've been trying to get a hold of at least two other committee members, and they have not.
You're on mute.
Muted yourself.
Sorry. We cannot hold a design review committee meeting without a quorum. And we've talked to our director and my planning manager, Lindsay Nesbitt's with me. So at this point, the design review committee is, this is still a type 2 planning director decision. So we can issue the decision without, requiring the design review committee, it's not an explicit requirement. We understand that there's four members of the public that are here, and we understand that you're hoping your voice will be heard, and we want to kind of acknowledge that and at least let you speak here, but we can't let the design review committee hold it. So if you'd like to speak, you can raise your hand and we can go ahead and just listen to your comments. And then obviously after we close down today, I'm available for, questions and things like that by email, phone. I can obviously do video conferences one-on-one if you need me to. So I think that's where we're going to go without a fourth committee member. The fourth committee member to have a quorum. We just can't move forward. So I apologize again. I see we probably have at least one hand up here.
Who is
the applicant? Who is? Yeah, is Brian? Are you you're with the applicant team? I assume.
Yeah, I wanted to ask question. I wanted to ask a question before we open this up to the public, and I'm glad to hear all of their comments. But will there be any opportunity to answer any questions or comment with respect to any concerns or issues that are raised? Because it seems like we're going to put forth some information that this committee is going to absorb, and there's no opportunity to hear both sides of any particular issue or argument.
You're muted, Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry about that. I hit the mute button. So did you hear my previous talk, or was I muted the whole time? You heard what I said about
the
process.
So to answer your question, so we can't have hold the design review committee meeting, so they won't have any input. So they're essentially, without a quorum, they can't. So the way I see it, right, is if the attendees want to comment, we can have that. And I suppose I could respond as staff the best I could based on the staff report that you have seen already and the just the submitted material and stuff like that. So I think that's where would be the like interplay between the folks that comment and the staff. Does that kind of answer your question, or?
I think the concern is that is an appeal possible based on procedural errors in this case? And then two, I think that I'll speak for the applicant's team. We were definitely hoping that this would be treated as de novo, since we don't feel that we've had an opportunity to really present our case well, and that we were hoping to see your presentation again.
Well, I might be able to do a presentation, but it wouldn't be considered de novo unless appealed.
I wanted to treat it that way, as if this is our first time meeting, so that anybody present gets the entire full picture of what we're presenting.
Just a second. So just to clarify that, I don't know that de novo is the goal would be you want to have me prepare the staff report presentation, so it sets up kind of staff's initial recommendation, so that once the public responds, they at least have that staff report that I prepared.
At a minimum, yeah. And I think that we're prepared to speak about our project and answer questions as well, but it doesn't sound like there's going to be an opportunity for that.
I think we can do a quick staff, just a quick staff presentation, and then if they can give theirs if they want for the public.
Okay.
I mean, we're here, we're meeting.
Okay.
If the public thinks that would be beneficial, but you know, like the code does allow for staff to make the decision without going before the design review. The design review is the recommendation. So we're not concerned about a procedural error in this case.
So if that is the case, then wouldn't the public just be limited to written comments?
Well, so this is Lindsay Nesbitt. Hi. Your background. Hi. So we're trying to find that balance, right? Because this is the third time we're trying to hold a design review meeting, and this is the third time the public has showed up, right? So we're trying to find that balance between moving this project forward, but also letting the people who have showed up meeting after meeting be able to submit their comments, and then staff would review those and incorporate them into the staff decision where applicable or where it's related to the code, based on the code. That made sense. So
trying to protect the interest of our client here. We too have been here for all three meetings.
Exactly. And so instead of saying, okay, let's continue it again and postpone your project, we're just trying to find that balance of listening to the public comment and then moving the project forward so that after this meeting, Ben can prepare the decision. So.
Okay. Can we just all have just a second? I just want to chat with our client and make sure that they're okay with that.
Yep.
Hey, Brittany, I'm just doing a little check. I know you're still talking. That's fine. But just let me know if I can help. But take your time. We're still here. Thanks. Okay, folks, I have some potentially good news here. I've just talked to Sedomir, who's a design review committee member, and I believe he can join. We're sending him the link. So I think we can get him in. I mean, I don't want to promise that, obviously, until he gets on, but just hang tight. It's going to take a couple minutes, and then hopefully we can get going. So just hang tight.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. So thank you so much, Sedomir, for joining. Before we start, there's someone named Dan in the audience who had a question. So I'm going to allow you to talk. Is just before we get going, let me know if there's something you wanted to say. So go ahead, Dan, and let us know when you're.
Thanks, man. Just real quick, I'll send my comments in writing to Brittany's point. Brittany, I had originally submitted some comments to the SCA. Did you guys get copies of that? Because I didn't think I had an email address for you. But I can
believe
send
that comments provided to Ben were included in his staff report.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, I think between Steve Hanschke and myself, we have your comments. Nonetheless, we can connect right after this, confirm that we will absolutely make sure that they're in the record. And if you want me to forward them on to Brittany and the design team there, I can certainly do that. And I can put them in the record. Does that work?
When we have a chance for public comment, I'll do an overview. And then after this meeting, I'll summarize so that you don't have a series of emails. You just have one summary email, because there are some new comments as this has been continued. I've continued to think. And Brittany, so you know who I am. I'm the condo that's directly 100 feet south of you guys.
Okay.
Your office and the three end apartments actually have a commanding view of my living room and bedroom windows. So I'm probably your nearest neighbor.
Okay.
And I think in general, you guys have tried to do really well, but I've got four or five topic areas I want to just get your thoughts on and get your response to.
Great.
Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you here a little later.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, so we have a quorum now. Let's just verify. We have Tracy, we have Daryl, we have Todd, and we have Sedomir. And so we are good to go. Now, we do have the Design Review Committee opening statement. In the past, I've read it in the absence of the chair. It's supposed to be read by the chair. If just a couple members from the Design Review Committee can let me know if you prefer I read it, I can. If not, and you want someone from the committee to read it, let me know and I'll email it to you.
I think if you don't mind reading it, that would be great. Just keep things moving forward.
You got it. So I will go ahead and start. We're obviously still recording. So let's go ahead. So good morning. The Design Review Committee meeting of April 4th, 2023 is now open. My name is Ben Blessing, Senior Planner with Clackamas County. I am reading the Design Review Committee's opening statement as the chair is not here and as directed by the members of the committee. Before we proceed with the meeting, I would like to let the audience know who we are and explain the process for the meeting. The Design Review Committee is a volunteer committee appointed by the Board of County Commissioners to review and make recommendations on design review applications referred to it by the Planning Director. This committee consists of a variety of professionals and community members with expertise in site and building design, including such elements as architecture, landscape, architecture, engineering, and graphic design. The process for the meeting today will be as follows. Planning and Zoning Division staff will present the staff report. Then we will have the applicant go over their proposed plans and address any issues raised in the staff report. Next, although this is not a land use hearing, we will provide an opportunity for public comment. The applicant will then have an opportunity to respond. Finally, the committee will discuss whether the application complies with the approval criteria in the zoning development ordinance or can comply with appropriate conditions, and the committee will vote on a recommendation. Although the committee is charged with making a recommendation on the application, the decision will be made by the planning director or designee. The planning director's decision may be appealed to the land use hearings officer by any party within 12 days of the date of the decision. If you would like to provide comments, please sign in and clearly state your name for the record when you come forward to speak. If you would like a copy of the planning director's decision, please provide your address on the in the chat function. We will also ask, that you testify one at a time, speaking clearly into your computer as this meeting is being recorded. If there are no other questions, we will open the meeting for file number Z0032-23. So I will now proceed with the staff report. Okay. Again, Ben Blessing, Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division. I'm a senior planner that worked on the government camp hotels, what it's being currently called. So just a little bit of background. Subject property is 1.38 acres. It's near the northern extent of East Government Camp Loop, which will be shown on a subsequent slide as for the vicinity map. Just some notes in general, hotels are permitted in the MRR zone. Again, this is Mountain Recreational Zoning District, and they're allowed. Camp Creek runs along the southern property line, and there's a 50-foot buffer associated with that. That buffer is called the Stream Conservation Area, regulated under Zoning and Development Ordinance. That's ZDO, Section 704. There is a separate land use permit, file number Z03323, which is the SCA permit reviewed by staff planner Steve Hanschke, who's not present, unfortunately, today, as he's got some prior engagements. So that, as far as questions on that, I can give just limited responses. Obviously, as I stated in the opening paragraphs there, you can contact Steve. That public comment period is still open. If there's an appeal, there's an appeal process if there's disagreement with those standards. But again, Steve will not be present, and we can just generally talk about that file. But it is still needs that file. You know, the approval of this permit is predicated on approval of that permit, and they'll likely be issued together after this meeting. So there again is your location map, Government Camp Loop, East Government Camp Loop, the hotel being located roughly on the northern half of this kind of skinny lot here at the top point of the road. So the proposal 47 unit hotel, there's one main entrance that will be the vehicular entrance, and that will take up a large part of frontage on East Government Camp Loop, as the you know, there's much of the northern property line on the subject property isn't fronting the public road there. So some hotel amenities include bike and ski storage in the basement, a large lobby, restaurant for hotel guests, and then there are some large rooms with kitchenettes and things like that. Understructure is necessary, meaning parking, since the site is constrained with the creek and the applicant is doing their best to utilize the space that's not constrained by the sensitive areas, the creek there. Any areas not being developed shall be preserved or enhanced with native vegetation. We'll show in a subsequent slide the landscaping plan, but essentially there's quite a bit of enhancements occurring with this development. And again, there's very small impacts to the 50-foot buffer, the SCA again, overall, but the applicant is enhancing the site considerably where it's not being developed. Just to look at the site plan, you can see the app basically just there's the building, under structure parking. You can see the parking spaces underneath the building, and then further west. This is the landscape plan. Again, basically the fringe of the buffer is just encroaching in a few areas where development's proposed, but overall this area will be enhanced and as many of the trees preserved as possible. Just some elevations to show you. I'll go over just a few details on the height. I think that the height is actually going to be measured from, not from the basement, but from the ground level floor, base of the first floor. And so it looks like the applicant's height, it was still sufficient based on my calculations. There's a condition of approval recommended that they comply with the height requirements in our ZDO, but it looks like that they're going to be under that maximum height allowed as noted in the staff report. Those are just some renderings. You can see the building. I'll go over a few questions I had for the design, or one question in particular for the design review about siding. We'll talk about that on the subsequent slide, but this is the renderings of the structure. So again, just to reiterate on that height, well, some dimensional standards in general, there were concerns that this is a mixed use facility. It's really not, it's a hotel. As long as all the amenities are, basically incidental to the hotel use, then it's just considered a hotel. And then again, there's the note on the height. You can have up to 87.5 feet with understructure parking. And even without that, when measured from the ground level, I still think that the minimum height would be met, which I believe is 70. I don't know. I'd have to reference it. But the height appears to be met based on these drawings and will need to be verified as conditions of approval. There are just some building design highlights. Government camp does have some specific building design standards in section 1005.12. Mainly the guidelines appear to be the proposal generally appears to be matching the guidelines. I made a note that there might need to be more of a wood rustic siding look, because it seemed like there was some limited amount of wood rustic looking siding, but I do think that would be ideal to have input from the design review committee to see if that's warranted or if it needs to be removed. And I can certainly remove that based on the guidelines, assuming it complies with the ZDO criteria. So just some more highlights. So transportation, parking, and solid waste. So I'm going to read this. Both county engineering and county sustainability divisions have noted that maneuvering areas will need to be met as a condition of approval. And at present, that area is constrained and the plans do not clearly show large vehicle maneuvering areas. The applicant shall ensure that garbage trucks, emerging vehicles, et cetera, can maneuver once on site. This is a condition of approval noted therein. Other than that, parking is sufficient. As noted in the staff report, they're adding actually, I believe over 5 spots than required. The sanitary hauler may need to work with our sustainability division, which works with the haulers to ensure that they have the right turnaround and everything, and that can occur at the time of building permit. And lastly, just for the to note, ODOT is the right-of-way owner and of East Government Camp Loop. It's even though it's not a highway, it's still under their jurisdiction. So it's something to note. Just the landscaping highlights again. Since the applicant is planning to preserve or enhance all the areas not being disturbed by the development, there should be ample vegetation to meet the minimum landscape requirement. And again, just a note, there's a strip of land adjacent to the northern property line that's owned by basically U.S. Forest Service, it appears, or federal government. And it appears based on the applicant's landscape plan that there's a lot of trees that are contained in that strip. So that may provide some buffering, although there's no way to protect that. It's not owned by the applicant, but if based on the plan, there may be some additional vegetation there, which would be a good thing for buffering. Applicant will need to provide a landscaping plan showing planters, hanging baskets, etc. along the pedestrian vehicle entrance in lieu of a planted landscaping strip. So this was noted in the staff report. Basically, the applicant noted that would be met. And so it's just a condition of approval that we kind of delineate the pedestrian areas with some kind of planters or hanging baskets, etc. So that is the end of the report, and thank you very much. So I guess at this time I would, the next step is obviously, and again, design review committee, just let me know if you would like to, kind of take over, if you will, and things like that. But I'll go ahead and move the meeting along and just let the applicant respond to the staff report and the presentation and obviously the staff report that's been provided. So go ahead, applicant.
Thank you, Ben. Would you mind putting it back on the site plan review that includes our landscaping mitigation that you were sharing?
Oh, sure. From that was in my presentation?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Just give me a second.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. So I wanted to highlight the project from this view first, and I'm going to be probably further than I would just to be conscious of everybody's time this morning. We are, in fact, presenting a 47-room hotel. I wanted to clarify something. I think we caused some confusion mistakenly in our narrative by calling this an extended stay. At no point are we intending that any guest would stay longer than 30 days in accordance with state law. Extended stay, I think in our minds, though not defined in Clackamas County's code, if you're staying for longer than a week at a hotel, that seems like an extended stay, which is why in some of the rooms you'll see a little kitchenette for guests who stay 2, 3, 4 weeks, less than 30 days. So I wanted to clarify that. I also just wanted to highlight the incredible amount of work that the applicant has put into presenting this project to everybody. This project has been going on for years, and that is not an exaggeration, though I do tend to exaggerate. That is not an exaggeration. A lot of market research went into this project, and we believe that this creates pretty incredible employment opportunities, and that's twofold, right? So we're going to have construction and development of the site, which is an employment opportunity. And then over the long term, this will create jobs in the hospitality market of Government Camp. This will also help to support, I think, one of the largest industries in this area, which is hospitality. So we wanted to point that out. The applicant hired numerous experts to help design and redesign yes, 3-4 times this project was redesigned. And each time we realized that we needed to compact our footprint, and that became a pretty interesting challenge. So we had structural engineers, we had architects, land use consultants, construction experts, civil engineers, structural engineers. We had an archaeologist and environmental scientists. So we've been very conscious of the fact that there are sensitive lands on the site, and very conscious of the fact that, you know, we could be impacting surrounding uses. You'll see that we have enhanced the site with additional landscaping, native landscaping. We've done several field studies to determine what landscape would be appropriate, what plants would survive well and complement the area, and all of the natural systems that exist there. And so I just want to recognize that we are presenting what we believe to be a very thoughtful project. There's been a lot of hurdles to overcome, such as believing that we owned the property along the entire frontage of Government Camp, and then finding out that there was, in fact, a strip of federal land that we have no opportunity to purchase or develop, again, redesign, you know, our site and compact it even further. So I think we've demonstrated in our narrative that was only, I think, 316 pages for anybody who wants to read it. I think we've demonstrated that we are being respectful of the land and surrounding uses and providing a wonderful development to this area that will enhance Government Camp.
Okay, thank you much, Brittany. So the next section of this is to, before we move on to public comment, does the design review committee staff have any comments of their own or questions for Brittany or myself before we start having the public give their comments? And then, of course, after that, the design review committee will discuss and talk about recommendations and that sort of thing. So is there anything before we move on to the public comment?
I guess this is a question for the entire applicant team. Just to make sure, did you have any questions about the staff report itself, or was there anything that you needed clarification on before we
moved forward? Thank you, Tracy. There were a couple of items that we were unsure about, such as, and I'll address this to you, Ben. We just wanted to ensure that if we are required to have a wood rustic look siding, that we can use an alternate product, considering the topography of the site. Maintenance of natural wood in this area would likely be nothing short of a nightmare. So I just wanted to ensure that we are able to achieve the look desired in the area with alternate materials that would be more sustainable in this area.
Okay.
I might jump in here for just a quick second. And what we're kind of proposing is more of a fiber cement product with wood grain look. And again, yeah, I mean, trying to maintain, you know, cedar five stories up on the south side of the building it wouldn't really work out. So we would request that.
So if I could clarify, that area, you do show a small area of cedar shake siding on that kind of entry facade. Are you also proposing that be like a hardy product or something along those lines?
Yes, thanks for asking. Yeah, James Hardy, they do a great job with, you know, faux cedar shake that has the wood grain that is fiber cement, more durable.
Right. And I think, you know, as a committee, we'll talk through that, because that is, I think, one of the primary things that that planning would like us to discuss. But I just wanted to make sure we were clear on what you were planning to do there. So thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Okay, so it sounds like we can move along now to the public side. So let me just prepare here in a second. Okay, so we have two members from appears to be from the community, and then we have some other staff that are on the call here. So first, let's see. Dan, are you present? I mean, if you want to just raise your hand, okay, there you go. So Dan's raised his hand. Dan Lundberg, I'm going to go ahead and bring you over now, Dan, and then we'll let you make your comments. So welcome back, Dan, whenever you're ready.
Thanks, Ben. And so, Brittany, most of my comments are more for both of the applicant and the design review committee. Like I said, I'll summarize them and email them to both Ben and I think on the application is Jesus's email, so I'll use him as a CC. One first is, and I had commented this to Steve Hanschke in the beginning, is the incursions into the wetland. I think there might be a mistake in your presentation, Ben. I think the setback from Camp Creek is actually 40 feet, not 50 feet. But still, the scale is right. From what I can tell from the scale, the incursion of the grading zone is all along the southern boundary with two small exceptions. The mitigation plan seems to be consistent with that. I was glad to hear that the intent is leave all the trees in the SCA and then enhance with small plantings. But hopefully the intent, and this is questions to you guys, the intent is not to turn it into a park-like setting, but leave it as natural as possible. I wanted to check on whether you guys have worked with Hoodland Fire on what they call defensive zones. There are trees well within 20 feet of the southern exposure. And as you're probably familiar with the Golden Poles fire, lack of fire access to the southern exposure could be a problem. So you're probably far more up to date than Golden Pole was with internal fire suppression, but making sure that your fire suppression is adequate given that you probably can't access it in the back in case of a fire would be important. Setbacks to other properties I'll discuss with snow removal. Snow removal is the second point. As you know, we get a lot of snow in government camp. In fact, snow slough from some of the roofs I live in not the Grand Lodges, but Collins Lake. There is literally reaching the second story above my deck from snow off the second story. With the height of your building and without mitigation to hold snow on the building, you could be looking at a substantial impact to the SCA by piling up as much as 10, 20 feet of snow behind it, which will essentially defer spring for a month or two beyond what's there, especially with the conifer cover along the southern edge. That snow is going to melt real slow. So I'd be interested in your comments around that. Third is on the north side. The building is fairly close to the northern boundary, and while that narrow slip of property is listed in both the report that Ben just read and in your own report, I think it's actually in the process of review. That's that piece of government land is part of a land swap with Meadows. So you might want to make sure that you've been in contact with Meadows. My understanding is that Meadows has a long-term agreement with ODOT for that strip of land to be snow storage from cleaning government Camp Loop. So you might also make sure that ODOT's plans will not damage the lower floor of your building. For the most part, they use plows, but along that government Camp Loop, they use snow blowers. And that strip's pretty narrow. Along that final point with snow removal, there's a lot of land area in your parking lot, and I didn't see anything in your I think it's 306 pages, not 316, and yes, I did read it. But I didn't see any provisions for how do you clear snow on that parking lot during the winter months. The underground looks good for cars, but the snow removal equipment used in government camp could not possibly access your parking lot, with the exception of a couple of small snow blowers. So if you have to remove snow, I'm unclear, but make sure you comment on that, because you don't want to get into the first winter and then worry about snow removal. Third is just a comment on the restaurant. I understand the restaurant is for hotel guests and it seems appropriate, but at 47 feet, at 47 spaces, which I counted on your floor plan, it is actually one of the larger family restaurants in government camp. It will be more attractive to tourists than you might believe. So be careful of that, because your parking plan does not allow for that mixed use. And it won't take much, unless you have a mitigation plan, for the public to show up as family dining in government camp is somewhat limited to date. You may have a much more attractive restaurant than you think. I talked about fire in the defensive spaces, and you guys have talked about the aesthetics. The only other comment on the aesthetics is just the scale of the project. It's your property, I understand that, and you've done a good job of trying to get the most out of the property that you can. But the aesthetic of a small alpine village is dominated by this building. It is the first thing that you see when you enter government camp from Highway 26, and it will be visible from Highway 26 to Midtown. So it will dominate the skyline in government camp, and kind of sets a new scale for what we were trying to imply with an alpine village look. So that's kind of my comments. Like I said, I'll copy them all and forward them to Jesus and Ben. Thank you for listening. Any comments?
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. That was great.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, for that. We have addressed several of the items that you've spoken about today, and I'm probably going to ping pong with my peers here to answer everything. But One thing I did want to mention is, yes, we intend to leave the SEA area natural. That was the purpose of hiring an environmental scientist to work toward the replanting and the mitigation effort, was to keep it as natural as possible, and understanding the canopy and things like that. We have been absolutely in touch with Hoodland Fire. We've been in touch with everyone. ODOT, Hoodland Fire. We attempted to chase down contacts for the strip of land to the north for many months, and learned that it may be tangled up in some sort of lawsuit. So we were unable to obtain that property. That is good information that it may be part of a land swap, though. As far as snow removal, we understand the constraints of our site. And Brian or Jimmy, jump in here if I'm speaking out of turn. But I do believe that we intend to use heated concrete in order to help with snow buildup. Is that correct, guys?
Yes, that's our intention. You will have a hydronic system under the concrete to eliminate snow buildup.
So we have been very mindful of, you know, the climate that we are attempting to build in. As far as the scale of the project, we do recognize that this is a larger building, and that is purely based on the fact that we have so many site constraints and have to compact everything in order to really present, you know, a full project that would be, you know, worthy of this area, in my opinion. Ben, can you comment on this? There's a minimum height requirement. Am I wrong about that?
Yes, and that was going to be part of my comments too.
We are meeting those requirements as far as scale. You know, and I'm sure that I'm just preaching to the choir here to the design review committee, but there are very strict design requirements in this area, as there should be, right? That this is building of a community. You have a desired aesthetic and the way that you want properties and development to function together. And so as far as the scale, I think that our architect has, I'm biased, but I think they've done a wonderful job of articulating the building, providing human scale through the use of canopies and, you know, ornamental architecture. So I think that the scale on paper might seem looming, but with the surrounding trees and the topography and natural slopes of the property, I think it's not going to be as jarring as people feel that it might be. And like Ben had stated in his presentation, it is really checking the boxes for the design guidelines that are in place here. As far as how the snow buildup on the structure may impact the SCA, I wish that we had one of our environmental scientists here today, but unfortunately, because this was rescheduled a couple of times, that's not possible. So I think that we might have to comment on that a little bit later, but that will be something that's considered.
Brittany, on that too, I'll loop Steve in, and if you want to get in touch in the coming, like, the week or something, I can certainly let him know right away that we discussed that too, and you can obviously work with him as well.
Wonderful. And Brian?
Yeah, well, we have looked at that snow slough issue, and we'll be applying some apparatus to try to keep you know, gutters and eaves from freezing and dropping snow. I mean, we know right now you can go up there and, you know, there's a lot of snow. We can't mitigate all of it, but we think that we can prevent some of the major sloughs by apparatus that is currently in use on structures up there. If you look at the North and South Lodge and some of Collins Lake structures, you'll see these little tabs sticking up that help to reduce that snow slough. Also, we have had direct contact with Woodland Fire, the fire marshal, and he's addressed his ability to deal with fire from the street frontage. Although the building will be fully sprinkled and we're looking at additional fire mitigation concepts for the surrounding ground area as well. And then lastly, in regards to the, I think Brittany has addressed the piece of land that's owned by the U.S. Forestry Service. It is clearly in a land swap between Mount Hood Meadows, and we've spoken directly to Mr. Drake and his project management team about this. His sense is that even if this, and this thing has been going on for almost a decade now in terms of transaction, and even if it is consummated, there are two environmental groups that are apparently already lawyered up and ready to fight this thing as long as possible. So we've exhausted every possibility of trying to acquire that strip of land, and we're just, you know, have to consider it essentially a spite strip, and we'll deal with it. In regards to the snow removal up there, we also talked to the contractor who does the snow removal, and ODOT is planning to change their snow removal process and move it to the up the hill to the east end of Government Camp Road, where the facilities are right now, where the restrooms are, and they're going to move that across the highway over to where their road equipment and material storage area is, and they're going to use that area at the top of the hill for snow removal storage. So we think that it's not going to be as big an issue for the frontage of this property.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brian. Did Brittany or Brian, before we move on, anything else to add?
Yeah, I wanted to address the restaurant as well, because I know that was brought up by Dan. So the restaurant is absolutely intended just for hotel guests. This is not a mixed-use project. And although it appears that there's a lot of seating, generally not just one person is going to occupy a hotel room. So over 47 rooms, we wanted to ensure that all hotel guests had access to this restaurant. Because like Dan pointed out, there are limited options for dining in the area. So there's something special about it being exclusive to guests that are just staying there. And that's really easy to mitigate, such as, you know, what room are you in before you enter the dining area? So I don't think that should be a concern of the community at all.
One last comment, if I could. In regards to Dan's comment about the setback area being 40 feet, that would be wonderful if that were the case. I don't believe it's so.
Right.
We'd love to have that extra 10 feet, but could somebody confirm that for us?
After Brittany and you are done with this with Dan's comments, I was planning on confirming that I could respond with the design review committee, but I will definitely address that. Yeah, it's a good point, Brian. So Brittany, just I'd go back to you if you have anything else.
Nope, I'll rest. Thank you.
Okay. So design review committee, I was going to obviously before, you know, you may have comments for Dan, but before that, can I now address the items brought up by Mr. Lundberg there, if you don't mind? Great. So yeah, the 40-foot setback, it's a 50-foot stream conservation area, vegetated corridor. It would be nice if it was 40, but that, I don't know if that may have been, so looking at the plans, but it is a 50-foot buffer, and that was noted in the staff report, so it is 50 feet. As far as Hoodland Fire, I think the applicant addressed it well, and obviously we've noticed the Hoodland Fire Department. They've received a notice of this application. they've made some comments with our sustainability department, but there's been no major issues brought up by them, essentially with the fire code. They'll have to work with the applicant, you know, when the actual, you know, construction phase starts and so forth. So that appears to be addressed. For the snow removal, I'll just confirm that this, you know, with the ZDO that, if there's anything special for snow removal, that I address it in the final staff decision. But it looks like I don't think I need to address it any further there. I just would basically concur with Brittany's, what Brittany said about the restaurant as just incidental to the hotel guests. So that'll just be for hotel guests, and that won't be, you know, there's condition obviously in the staff report, which I recommend we keep, that just says it's for, you know, hotel guests only. So that should help there. And obviously the measures Brittany noted will also provide some, level of assurance that it's not going to be to the general public. And then lastly, I think that's all I'll have. I don't need to comment on the scale at this point. We have one other person, and I want to say that other than there's a couple of county staff who I'll get to, but before we go to this, one other person who can raise their hand if they wish to speak. We can't see your name, but I'll just ask the design review committee if you have any questions for the applicant or Mr. Lundberg or myself, obviously, based on his comments.
I don't have any comments or questions at this point.
Okay. So before we kind of turn it over to the committee, we do have one guest. So I'm just going to give you a few seconds. I'll use the raise hand feature if you'd like to talk, or if you want to send a note in the chat function, you can too. But I just want to make sure everyone gets a chance. And also, I see we have two staff on here. I don't know that it's, if you would wish to add something, you can also just raise your hand or put something in the chat function. Mainly it's, you know, I mean, obviously you can do that, but I want to give a few seconds for the one other guest we have just to do that before we move on. So just a quick second there.
I don't see the raised hand feature on the bottom of my screen anymore.
Oh, sorry, who was talking?
This is Daryl. I don't see the raised hand feature on my screen anymore. It was okay, at the bottom.
Okay, thanks for noting that. I tell you what, I'm going to allow the guest who's not on as guest just to speak if they want to, just real quick. Guest, just let me know if you want to just have anything to say. And if we don't hear from you here in a few seconds, we'll just move on. So you're moved over. You'd have to unmute yourself, but obviously there's no pressure to testify or talk here. I'll just give you a couple seconds. Okay, I will move you back, and if we have no other comments from the attendees and the guests, I guess at this point we should turn it over to the design review committee for your comments and discussions there. So I'll let you go ahead and take it from here.
Brian, I see that you have a hand raised. Is that a new comment or is that?
No, I'm sorry. Okay. I just forgot to take it down.
That's thank okay. You. Just wanted thank to you. Make sure. So I guess I'll maybe start. I think my only comment or question had to really do with that cedar siding that was shown, and just kind of the general appearance of the siding in general. I know that the government camp guidelines talk about, you know, wood and stone and indigenous materials. And there's nothing that I could find, and Todd, correct me if you found something, but I couldn't find anything that outright prohibited the kind of hardy style siding. in the government camp guidelines, and it is an allowed material in the general zoning code. So I didn't know if that was just something to think about. I think for me personally, my response to the cedar shake that was proposed is that it's a nice gesture, but it didn't seem there's not very much of it. So I was just kind of wondering, you know, I like kind of highlighting the entryway in some point, which I think was the intent with that. I did have one question about the elevation versus the renderings. And I know that as designs progress, sometimes things don't necessarily change over from one thing to the other, but it almost looked like in the renderings that it was shown, the areas that are shown in the elevations as cedar siding were shown with like a stone hatch. And I just wanted to make sure that that is not what was happening there. Yeah, and it's tough to see.
Are we allowed to comment at this point, or is it closed to comment?
Oh, I think you can respond.
Okay, great. So our architect, Jim, is here, and he will probably respond as well. But yeah, we had a conversation about that, and it was a mistake on the hatching for the elevations. Go ahead, Jim.
Nope, just that, actually. It's not supposed to be stone. That'll be the cedar shake there, okay, at that front entry.
I figured as much. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. all right. Todd, what were your thoughts about the siding?
It looks very well thought out. And I think that the design guidelines intent is to, you know, mimic the lodge style buildings, you know, Timberline, Crater Lake, Rainier. And those were all fantastic wood buildings. But as we know, we have better materials now that will hold paint better and wear better than, you know, traditional wood siding. I do think the hardy siding that we normally see, the builder grade stuff, is very thin, doesn't have the shadow lines. If we go to something like the hardy artisan or the Nichiha shingles, which have more reveal and more depth to them, it would be more appropriate. And I think painting it a darker color, kind of a natural wood tone look, would be very desirable. I was a little concerned about the light white colors. They don't seem appropriate.
As much as I personally really love the light colors, but after seeing them in this climate after a season or two, exactly, it tends to require a lot of upkeep. It has a tendency to turn a little green or gray, or, you know, we have a lot of moisture here. And I know, like, that's one of the benefits of the cement siding as opposed to wood, but the light colors can show wear and tear pretty quickly here.
And
so,
the fiber cement provides much better fire protection as well.
Right. Right. So yeah, I totally understand the benefit from that perspective, and then also from a moisture intrusion perspective, it holds up a little better.
I did have one question about the concrete columns at the ground level. It seems like maybe a stone cladding or something might be more appropriate for those. I understand you're probably trying to maximize parking under there. Is that correct, or would there be an opportunity to make those a little more massive?
That's correct. Brian, I might let you comment on this, if you don't mind. I don't want to, just because it involves project cost, and Brian's been tracking all of that.
You, there you go.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. I'm happy to try to address that. As we've said, you know, the site is very tight, and this project has been designed sort of down to the square inch, and I mean literally to the square inch. The columns are set in size and location such that the parking stalls, the back out, turning radiuses and stuff have been extensively thought out. I think there may be some other treatments that we could do, but if we added a masonry facade to the concrete columns, you know, we could add 8 inches or so in each direction, and that's going to start to pinch our parking. So perhaps there are some other things, all of which are going to cost money, but there are some other ideas that flutter through my head in terms of concrete mix, putting some form liners in the columns that would give the concrete not just a smooth, slick finish, but some kind of texture. I hesitate to mention colored concrete because that gets extremely expensive, but it is a possibility. And I realize that, you know, this south face of the property is, you know, what Dan and his neighbors are going to be looking at from Collins Lake. So I don't have an immediate solution or answer, but we'll certainly take it under consideration. But enlarging the columns or adding a masonry facade to the columns could be problematic dimensionally.
What about going to square columns rather than sonotubes?
We are actually showing a square. I don't know if it's rendering or how it's appearing in the rendering there, but they would be square.
Okay, they look very slender and tall, and they look cylindrical in the rendering. But
they kind of remind me of the modernist movement a little bit. Just like, I think because they do appear so tall and slender, so I think that's what you're responding to also, Todd. That was kind of my first thought. I was like, okay, this is not feeling very traditional, but I think part of that is the proportion, because that site does slope to such a degree. I think the square columns would help. And also, I think it's just maybe a product of the rendering as well, but the white, like, it feels so bright, and it just kind of, your eye gets drawn right to it. So so potentially that's something, may not necessarily colored concrete, but something to kind of,
maybe stained concrete or something that would be a little less expensive.
Yeah, I do like the idea of the liners, Brian, too. Just adding some texture, pick the right wood liner or something in there to give that kind of feel a little bit more rustic.
Yeah. What about stone veneer? I mean, even like a cultured rock, dry stock, something like that. It's not that thick. I mean, they're inch, maybe a couple inches in thickness.
I think the slenderness, if we did that, would look really awkward. It's going to look very fake.
Yeah.
You're talking about like Z brick or, you know, something like that. Most cultured stone that I've installed is more than a couple of inches. It's usually 3 or 4 inches in depth. But I'm sure there are products that we could look at. I think at some point becomes a cost consideration, and I'd much rather deal with it with form liners and concrete stain or paint even. I think if those columns are a dark color, they become much less prominent on the site.
Well, and maybe they get broken up. Maybe they have a base to them, which eliminates the cylindrical look, and because they are so tall. I mean, maybe if we just thicken the base up 6 feet or something.
We'll have to see how that all works with the parking
plan. Back to Brian's point. I mean, yeah, the ledge stone or, you know, any kind of that adhered stuff is going to be at least 4 inches plus your mortar. So I assume Yeah, you're probably gaining 9 inches in width across the column in both directions, and we are very tight on parking right now, and just trying to squeeze all of this into our compact site here. It might prove to be a challenge.
I think to Todd's point about the hardy or the, you know, the siding material, do you have a what were your plan? Were you planning to just kind of use the hardy kind of standard, or is there?
No, I think we're looking and Todd mentioned a couple of good products, the Nichia, the heavier James Hardy product, which we've used on a lot of commercial buildings, and one that we recently discovered, which is called a wood tone rustic series siding, and it from 6 inches away, it looks like real wood. I'm going to hold up a sample of it so you can see it.
Oh yeah, okay.
So something of that nature is what we're after in terms of application. And this is a cementitious product. So, you know, the fire retardant issue up there is important too. But trying to get the look, we realize we're in the forest up there and we want to kind of honor that.
And if I could just ask a question real quick on that. So that, I know the other issue was the color. So it seems like that wood tone rustic siding wouldn't be white. It'd be brown. So that might, am I right there that would kind of,
yes,
might check the box for the color too.
Yeah, it would be. And as far as the white, I know we've had conversations about building color, and we really haven't come to conclusion on that. But
you would be open to considering different colors.
Yes, we would. And I'm not speaking for Jim Toporek right now. I'm speaking for the developer.
We're open. Yeah.
Like I said, I do like the lighter colors in theory. I've seen it. I've seen it over time. It doesn't age very well, unfortunately. Right. But Brian, just so I'm understanding, the sample that you showed, would that just be for the would that be for all of the siding that's on the building or just the horizontal?
It would be those areas where we want to have wood accent. I think, you know, the other areas that are currently shown in the light white color would probably be a cementitious panel with
like a board and batten, right?
Board and batten application, yeah. And we don't want to use the 5/16 material because it has a tendency to oil can, and I think Todd has pointed that out accurately. We don't like that, and that's not what we want here. This is a legacy project for the owner, and we want it to be a high quality outcome.
Do any of the other committee members have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I have some comments if everybody else is done.
Are you good? Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So can I share a screen?
You should have access. So. Yep, you should be able to. Let me know if it doesn't work.
Okay.
Do you have a function? You got that? You see the share screen icon at the bottom of your screen? Oh, there you go. It's coming up.
Are we up?
Yep.
Okay. So this is the village. I'll just start off with the columns that Todd and everybody else was talking about. So this column looks like it's holding up, you know, a lot of, I mean, the skinniness and everything else. From the view of the street, it looks really skinny, like Todd was saying. That's just a comment to, you know, in relation to everything else, but it's from the street. As far as the ones in the back, they're not being seen from the street. Also, the landscape back here, I think, is important, what that is. You know, might consider redesigning it a little bit. I don't know what it is or what it looks like, but That's what's going to be seen from the street. This big wall here, I don't know how it's going to be treated, but it's really blank wall. The same on the other side. I don't know how that's going to be treated. That, to me, is a concern since it's right from public view. Maybe some, I don't know, you could put a trellis and some plants, or maybe just, maybe it's just nice work, but, and I don't know if it's, you know, the same as all the rest, or it's just drawn that way. Those are comments. As far as planters, I believe, okay, so we have a driveway, which has a paving pattern. It says there's a use message. This is for cars, and it stops here. So this is your plaza, right? And then there should be a planter, in my opinion, here to give a little with a diaphanous ever screen of some sort. The planter, I believe, design village guidelines or whatever. If you go to Mirror Lake, which is right a quarter mile away, right almost at Mirror Lake Trailhead where the ski bowl entrance is, it has typical, it's done by the Forest Service, as typical rock work. I believe that rock work should, and those, that type of design element of that type of rock work should be used in your planters here. And maybe here, get, I don't know what you're going to do with this. Perhaps if you got a little bit more room to over here to create a sense of space or a sense of place by creating more of a sense of place. This burly black, well, this would, if you put a planter here, this wall would be taken care of with, like I said, this maybe some vine maples, a diaphanous screen or whatever that you can see through, but it still gives a sense of, you know, definition of space. This would have a different paving pattern. So the use message says, this is a plaza. This is for people. Then I had a question. I don't believe any of this is really here from the plan. I'm not sure if it's 5 feet to the property line. I know that this is a rendering, and then there's going to be snow blown on it, and it's not your property. But I don't think it's going to look like this. I don't have a solution. Those are, I guess, my only, and then if this is the garbage, it's getting a little close to your plaza, but those are my comments.
You know, I actually like all of that. Yeah. And I think as we continue to develop that plaza area, I like the idea of kind of bringing in boulders or more rock or something and adding more vegetation and further defining that space as a plaza. I think it's all, you know, pretty easy to do. And I look forward to developing that further. Yeah, and you're right about what we're kind of looking at there on the east side of the building there. I mean, there's going to be trees in front of it from that federal land that we can't really touch or do anything about. So that'll be screened with that a bit more.
Jim, one comment there. I'm looking at the tree plan.
Yeah.
There's no trees. Actually, yeah, there's actually really nothing in that stretch, surprisingly. So most of the existing trees are to the west of the building.
Oh, it's a little bit further down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't have a solution, but it's a concern, or I mean, you need to think about it, or I, you know, whatever. It's your whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit out of our control. You know, we'll plant kind of what
if
we
you
can.
Have 5 feet, I don't know if you have 5 feet between the property line, and I'm not sure if you're or you're just abutting it because of the code. I don't know if you have some room to buffer that building a little bit and also, you know, kind of enhance it. But
I think not. I can. If I could speak to that, I think that the code allows for a zero lot line because it's a side yard setback given that federal strip of land. So I think that's why there was no landscaping in that, I guess, eastern sector of that, of where the rooms are there, of that area here. That why you can't see them because it's not, I'm not sharing screen, but I do think it's at zero lot line and the applicant can confirm that, or we can look at the plans if we need to.
Well, what happens if that land gets resolved and then somebody acquires it and then
they clear cut everything, I mean, then there wouldn't be nothing there to screen the building.
Right.
You're right, Ben. I believe that we are exercising the zero lot line in order to be mindful of the conservation area.
Yeah, we pushed as far to the property line as we could. I believe I'm off 5 feet from the property line just for fire code reasons and allowable openings in that wall.
Can I comment?
Yep.
We would love to have Mr. Drake consummate that transaction with the U.S. Forestry Service, since he has no practical use for that property and his interest is really in 100+ acres that's on the north side of Government Camp Road. He'd be more than amenable to getting rid of that strip because it's going to be just a nuisance to him. And at such time, then I'm sure we would endeavor to clean it up and present a much better front door to the project, just for the benefit of the project, if nothing else.
Well, if I could comment, I mean, that seems good, but, you know, I don't know how we would put that in the conditions of approval. I mean, we would.
You can't. I was just responding to his comment. If somebody else buys the property? Well, nobody else but Mr. Drake or the U.S. Forestry Service is going to own that property for a very long time.
Right.
Additionally, I think to think about it globally, if that property were to be developed, which I, other than a lemonade stand, I can't think of what you could fit there. But that would be their rear property line. So there's some, you know, setbacks for them. And then of course setbacks within Clackamas County have to be landscaped. So I think that, you know, naturally there would be some sort of buffer there, and additional landscaping and beautification.
And if Daryl, are you still sharing your screen there? Do you mind if we take that down?
Yeah, sure. Sorry.
No worries.
We're okay, right?
We're good. Yeah. So I obviously Tracy, and you're welcome to, do you have anything else? I guess the next step is, if anyone else wants to comment, they can, but then we kind of want to, obviously I've kind of made some notes and jotted down the items that design review committee is thinking, if you want to recap that in your vote, you know, if you want to change anything and so forth. But I'll let you, if there's anyone else that wants to you know, go ahead from the design review committee and add additional things. I just kind of wanted to summarize that at this point.
I'd also like to add one more comment. The village guidelines, they mentioned rock, you know, your woodwork, and they mentioned wrought iron. I think some wrought iron somehow incorporated into this project, whether it's just a little tiny sign or something, might be appropriate to kind of start to unify this for the next 30 or 40 years, where we can bring in, you know, this timberline faux image and kind of spread it throughout Government Camp, which is their village guidelines. It wouldn't be, you know, $1 million worth of wrought iron. So I don't know how that would work or where it would, but that's up to the architect. Also those front columns that are holding up the the columns here, they're holding up your shelter or whatever you want to call it, your overhang, are, I imagine that could have some rock work around the base and then maybe some vines going up that to also buffer this and make it a little nice spacer. And I don't know where any wrought iron work would go, but It seems like that kind of design element to start to make government camp, and like perhaps McCall, Idaho, you know, ski resort towns like that. That's what this is. I don't know. I'm a skier. I'm up there all the time. I've been up there 17 times this year. So
good year.
I have a vested interest in this project.
Yeah. Just a comment, if I could. I like the idea of some stone on those columns on the eyebrow in the front. I think that's a really good look there. And as far as wrought iron, if you click on that rendering again, and you look at the deck railings, there's quite a bit of iron railing all across the front of that building. So I think we are bringing that element into the design.
Okay, great, great. Yeah, and then Mirror Lake is just down the road. That's where the Forest Service has done a bunch of rock work, and that's all more or less all the rock work up there. So I believe you need to kind of go there and steal all and keep copy all that stuff and put it into some planners.
Okay.
I think Daryl, your comment about kind of, you know, these kind of little ways to incorporate the wrought iron are good too, like maybe something to do with the signage. Or I know in the staff report, there was also some mention of planters and hanging baskets at that pedestrian zone. There might be some way with kind of that the hangers for those hanging baskets, just some like small gestures, I think could make a big impact there. It's a good comment.
It looks like Jesus, do you have a question there or comment?
I just wanted to make a general comment. I think Brian had mentioned that this is a legacy piece for the Yoshidas, and it is. And I've been tasked with representing what they want to see, and we've hired like what we believe to be is a first class group of engineers and developers, and you know, to get this thing put together. So we, as you all know, we own the South Lodge up there already. It's something that they've held for a long, long time, and it's another legacy piece. The Yoshida's children, their grandchildren, they're all snowboarders and skiers. I'm up there all the time, not all the time, not as much as Daryl anymore, but I sure wish. three is enough for me. But my point is that the South Lodge, as you know, is thick cedar panel siding. We've maintained that for the past 15 years. It's incredibly expensive. I love the look of it, but it is incredibly expensive. We did look at that. And we do want this to be a proud piece for the community. We will incorporate all of these comments because we want to be a part of the community. We're not just trying to enforce our vision. And I believe that Brian and Jim and Brittany are doing the best they can to find the most economical products to service this building, because part of this is longevity. We want to provide a hotel that will last. You know, we don't want to bury ourselves in the hole up here. We want to be a stewards of the community, provide jobs. And so our intentions are the utmost to be a part of the community. We're going to be there for a long time, and we will incorporate these comments, and I appreciate everybody for being here the third time. So that's what I got. I'm not an expert, but I my team is, and they've done a fantastic job. That's it.
Great. So shall we, I guess, is there any other, does design review, and again, Tracy step in or anybody step in if you have more to discuss, but is there any other items to discuss on the design? From anyone with the committee?
I'd just like to say something else. The back parking lot, I remember it's like a 10-foot retaining wall that drops off to the south. Is there going to be a rail or something there to keep people from, when they're drinking too much, from falling off?
Yes. There'll be a guardrail all along the top of that wall.
Okay. Okay. I didn't see one on the plan, but I didn't. I didn't look that close.
We can put a gate in case somebody wants to jump, but there will be a guardrail.
Yeah, and that's required by code, fall protection over 4 feet. So that would be.
Oh, yeah, I. Okay, great.
Okay, so if appropriate, what I've kind of got here, I've got basically three summaries for you, and you can, sorry.
Dan has his hand up again. Speak.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It looks like before we move on, we have one other Dan Lundberg's asked to speak again, so I'm going to go ahead and let you speak, Dan.
Thanks, Ben. Just two comments. You guys talked a lot about the columns along the south. The only ones that are visible from any neighboring property are the last two around your office and the one that is seen from the street through the entry drive. The rest of them are protected by 100 plus feet of wetland and stream conservation and can't be or won't be seen by anyone other than your hotel guests. So the emphasis might be on those three columns that I mentioned. The rest is up to you and guest appeal. That would be my comment on that. And the other one is, you guys were looking at ways to dress up the front facade. If there's a way that you could incorporate the government camp street lamps, if you look up and down Main Street Government Camp, there are large posts with wrought iron on them and hanging baskets and banners that acknowledge events. That might be a way of pulling that off. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dan.
That's a good one.
Okay. And then before moving on, any follow-up on those comments? Okay. So I've just gone ahead and I've kind of summarized three topics that were brought up by the design review committee. And I think that, you know, your next goal is to make a motion and, you know, choose to approve the conditions as is, or you could kind of recommend those three general topics that you all have spoke about, which in summary is, I believe you'd want to have the, you know, the siding be the essentially that, wood tone rustic siding would be desired. That's one topic. And then for the columns, you'd like to have some kind of articulation in the form and possibly some staining of the square columns. That'd be one desired. And then finally, just in general, a lot was mentioned with the plaza, but I guess you could consider just general upgrades to the plaza, including hanging baskets, wrought iron where appropriate, and then more and dressing up some of the blank walls, those kind of things. So that's kind of how I summarized what you want. So I'll leave it up to you if you want to just, you know, make a motion to include those kind of things, however you want, you can. Or if you, you know, I'll obviously verify that with the code, with the staff decision, you know, but you also have the option to just, you know, obviously recommend staff report be accepted as is without those items you've just been talking about, so on and so forth. So that's just the summary, and I'll leave it up to you at this point.
Does that summary, does everyone feel that kind of captures what we talked about? Or do we want to, I don't know, pull, like, I feel like with the columns, maybe just keeping it as simple as providing some articulation and revisiting the color to help with the proportions of it.
To help with the proportions and to better comply with the government camp design guidelines.
And then the siding, what about, does that capture kind of the siding? I think I like the product that Brian presented. I think that as long as they kind of keep within that style and make sure that whatever is being used is the more substantial version of that. Does that make sense, Todd?
Yeah, I have seen the wood tone. I've never seen it in a thicker product. And I don't know, that doesn't mean it's not out there, but I think with the horizontal siding, we need something that has more of a shadow line. It looks more traditional.
Does the board and batten concept that we're trying to show, is that what you're talking about, Todd?
No, we were talking about the horizontal.
Oh, I'm sorry, the horizontal, not the vertical, yeah.
I think I'm not opposed to the board and batten style at all. I think when we were talking before that, we're talking more about the color of those areas than anything. Okay. And then Daryl, as far as the kind of the plaza articulation, I know in the conditions of approval already, there's some mention about planters and hanging baskets. But I think the kind of paving, kind of addressing some of those issues and the incorporation of some wrought iron elements in that area.
Providing the separation between the vehicular traffic and
pedestrian.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
Yes, and that would be with it. The word came up, diaphanous. Whoops.
Oh, I guess. I love that word.
Yeah, I just popped in my mind. It means a screen that you can see through, so you can still see the cars coming. But, you know, it's still sense of place. And then, of course, then we want to incorporate all the design rock work from Mirror Lake Trailhead. It's just down the road. And the lamps, the street lamps.
I did like that suggestion as well.
It's already there as a, and then they would start to unify the entire government camp facade, or if you want to call it that.
And I think Dan's comment about the columns that are visible being the ones we should focus on or articulating is an excellent comment.
I'm sorry, this is Jim. If I could jump in for just a second. If there's any way we could avoid the word articulation, if you want to go that route, that's great. But again, just to reiterate, if we start to add, you know, 8 inches to 12 inches in each one of these columns, we're going to lose a couple of spaces, which we'd like to retain.
Yeah, I think as long as we understand that the thickness of those columns is pretty well set. So,
right. So
yeah.
If we could maybe, for verbiage, if it's, you know, texture, interest, or articulation or something, give us some flexibility. Appreciate it.
However, those first few columns that you can see from the street, I don't think they're going would affect your.
The three in the plaza.
Dimensions that you need. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really looks like the whole, you know, you got 100 million tons on top of a pencil from the rendering. And I think it probably looked a lot like that from the street that's holding up, that you can see from the garage. But
yeah, certainly. We can add some mass to that one.
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate. As long as it doesn't interfere with any of your mechanical needs.
So from a recommendation standpoint, if we were to make a motion, Ben, could we just reference, because I just saw you taking notes based on what we were just discussing. Can we just reference the summary that you are putting together?
Yeah, so you could reference the summary, and I have it summarized in the three categories, basically the siding, the articulation and color on the posts, and then obviously the items noted in the plaza have all been noted and obviously recorded herein. So yeah, I think you could reference that for your recommendation.
Are we ready to make a motion, committee members? I'm happy to do it. I just want to make sure we're all good.
I'm good.
All right. I would like to propose a motion for design review file Z0032-23-D with the conditions from the staff report as stated, as well as the recommendations discussed during this meeting and summarized by Ben. Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
All in favor?
In favor.
Aye.
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 Motion.
Passes 4-0. Okay.
Well, thank you for all of your patience here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone, for all of your hard work and for being available to meet with us three times. We really appreciate
thank you,
it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, sorry for being late, guys. I got an emergency meeting got pulled into.
Well, I think we got the motion passed, but thank you for noting that. So I think we can end the meeting. I will have the staff decision as well as Steve Hanske's staff decision issued fairly soon. So just look for that for the general public. And thank you so much, Design Review Committee and applicant. Is there anything else before we close the meeting?
I think I'm good.
Okay, I will end the meeting and thank you so much again.
Ciao.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
See ya,
everyone.
All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Bye.